We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states. And the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live, in-game odds on every major sports, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our collaboration episode with Matthew Collar with the Purple Insider Podcast. We're going to have Matthew come on and we're going to talk about the Minnesota Vikings matchup against the Detroit Lions, all on episode 199 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire.
With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's gonna run it straight in! Jared Goff!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkins, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast and the Purple Insider Podcast on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler. I got my two guys, as always, Malcolm Pierre. We got the host of the Purple Insider, Matthew Collar. Matthew, how are you doing today, my man?
I am good, guys. Are you not excited for this 0-4 versus 1-3 matchup that the whole league is talking about? I mean, Chris Myers is calling the game, and you know when you get the Chris Myers team that it's serious.
Oh no,
it's a big one.
We got a lot of Chris Myers last year, actually. So we were used to him, honestly. With him and his crew was a little different this year than last year. I think it was him and Greg Jennings and Brock here last year. I don't know who he's with this year. We haven't got him yet, but.
I don't know either. I just know that when you get that F team going on, you know, and Joe Buck is not exactly showing up at your stadium, you know that you better turn your season around.
Well, we don't have Joe Buck ever, so, I mean, I'm not complaining, but we usually don't get Joe Buck on our end. Malcolm, how are you boys doing today?
I am doing well. Tyler, what's up with you, bro?
Not much, man. You know, we're here to talk some Lions, Vikings, week five action. Like Matt said, 0-4 versus 1-3, but I think it's been a different story for both our teams in the early going of this first month of the season. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Vikings have played mostly well in all of their games, but have fallen short for different reasons. Like against Cleveland, their defense, they allowed a lot of running yards, but they did a really good job against Baker Mayfield, pressuring him and causing problems for him. But the offense couldn't operate that day. And in Arizona, they get a lead. They sort of let it slip away. They miss a field goal. It's kind of been like something goes wrong each week. The difference between our two franchises is if the Detroit Lions go 0-16, then you start looking at Spencer Rattler with some excitement or whoever is the number one pick. We don't know at this moment.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
With the Vikings, though 1-3 is it sort of reminds me of Matt Patricia last year, and the idea that you could have a GM, a head coach, and a quarterback all gone in one off season, or you know, middle of the season firings, or something like that. I mean, it starts to get very hot for everyone. And if they lose to the Lions, I mean, that could be it. Like it could be over right there for Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. So there's kind of different storylines going along from, hey, this plucky team is going to try to, you know, fight their way through the season and then draft high, versus this could be a team having to make major changes in Minnesota.
Malcolm, are we talking about the same guy last week? We were talking to Bears Pod last week, and I feel like this is the same exact report.
Yeah. So Matthew, so as far as the head coach, like, he's on the hot seat right now, for you guys?
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, when you're here for 8 years, I look around the league and tell me how many guys are in charge for 8 years without a ring. There probably aren't any. I mean, you know, there are some coaches like Pete Carroll who maybe have passed their prime, but they're going to get a lot of benefit of the doubt because they won a Super Bowl. And for Mike Zimmer, they went to an NFC championship. We call that the Viking Super Bowl because they've been to many an NFC championship, but they've never figured out a way to win one. But, you know, they've been competitive this entire time. But I mean, they don't give you a ring that says competitive on it. And they've gotten to a point where it's not only like, oh, they're a playoff team, they're fighting with Green Bay. It's more of they're having to dig themselves out of huge holes to even be in the playoff race. And that's not where anybody expected to be when they handed out $30 million a year to Kirk Cousins. And at some point, you just have to show the fans that you care about that, because otherwise you're sort of sending the message. If you let them go 1-4 and lose to a team that is in the very bottom of the NFL, then you're saying the very bottom, you're down there. When you are down there with Urban Meyer, you are at the bottom. Yeah. But when if you let that pass, if you're 1-3 and your message to the world is, oh, we're better than 1-3, and then you lose to a team that's 0-4 and has completely blown up everything with their franchise to rebuild, I mean, I don't know how you recover from that. There's no quote you can give at the podium that's going to make anybody feel like you're the right guy to lead anymore if that's where you end up. So it's a very important game for the Vikings from that perspective, that if they want to have any kind of season, I don't think they can just win. I think they got to like really win this game.
All right. Oh, fair enough. All right. Before we get into the keys of the game, let's talk about the injury report for both of these teams. We'll start off with the Lions injury report. Pierre, you want to give us the Lions injury report?
Yeah. TJ Hockenson, knee, didn't practice. Penei Sewell, ankle, didn't practice. Then Brockers, Flowers, Swift, and Williams, they're all limited. They've been limited for the past couple of weeks. They should all be good to go. But, man, Hockenson and Sewell added to the injury report with Ragnar going on IR, with Taylor Decker on IR, with Romeo Okwara on IR, Jeff Okuda on IR. I mean, I go on and on, right?
Injuries are adding up, man.
These injuries are adding up. The Lions are basically fielding a preseason roster. I mean,
This is not good. If Penei Sewell can't go, we're looking at what, Will Holden?
Will Holden, or you move Big V to left tackle and you put Stenberg in at guard. I mean, it's just a mess.
Ooh. So we're going to be our tackle.
And that was supposed to be our strengths going into the year. And they've been
they've been good when they're healthy.
Outside of that Bears game, it's been a good strength for this Lions team. And to take out Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker still not going to return this week. Taking out Frank Ragnow this week.
Okwara.
Sheesh. Oh, I'm talking about just the offensive line right now. But yeah, I mean, that.
Why?
All right, Matthew, what's the Vikings report looking like right now, man?
On the Vikings side, I'm not going to read you everyone that has a listing in practice.
Well, they have a full part. Just the, looking at it.
Yeah, just people who are kind of dinged up in some way or another and have been on there recently. But just the guys who did not practice was Delvin Cook, Michael Pierce, Amir Smith-Marset, and Nick Vigil. Now, Delvin Cook said today that he is not 100% yet, which is a very bad sign for the Vikings. Now, I think that, Alex Mattison will not have any problem running against the Detroit Lions, but still, hey. You guys can't say. But Madison is good. Like, he's proven really over years he's good.
He is.
It's not like there's some massive drop off, is what I mean. If Delvin Cook is slowed down. One of the problems is, though, when Dalvin Cook is slowed down, is that they just keep going to him anyway. And what we saw last week is it wasn't very successful because his burst is not the same with this ankle injury. Smith-Marset doesn't really matter. He's kick returner for them. But Michael Pierce is a huge one. Because I think if there's one thing Detroit can do, even with the ragtag offensive line, it's run against the Vikings. The Vikings have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, and you have talent in the backfield. And now if Michael Pierce is out, there is a possibility to kind of run all over the Vikings. And Nick Vigil being hurt is another problem because Anthony Barr is coming back, but he's only going to be in a limited basis. If they don't have Nick Vigil, and you know, we'll see where it goes, but if they don't have him, you're talking about, you know, getting down to Blake Lynch as the other linebacker. I mean, you're short a defensive tackle and a linebacker. That doesn't make things easier to stop the run.
Now, don't you guys have the dude from this year? You signed him.
Dalvin Tomlinson, you mean?
Yeah. He could, like, fill in for Pierce, right?
He can. Right. Correct. But the problem is that behind Dalvin Tomlinson is whatever shadow of Sheldon Richardson has been playing for the Vikings that I do not recognize from the last time I saw him, and Armon Watts, it was just a sixth round pick and has just been a guy, and he gets generally steamrolled in the run game, and he had to play a lot last week, and the Cleveland offensive line just trucked them on many different occasions. So that, I think those couple of injuries could be pretty significant, though. Of all of them, I would expect Dalvin Cook probably has the best chance to play.
Malcolm, I'm going to kick it off to you. So now you look at this Vikings defense, and the Lions, like, you know, Matt just said, the Lions offense, when it's going, it's getting the run game going. But obviously, you're decimating a lot of good offensive linemen that have been getting the run game going. What's something you look at this week that the Lions offense try to get going against this Vikings defense?
You know, Matthew said it's definitely trying to get the running game going. But the thing is with the Lions, what they show so far is, like, you know, they'll start the running game and then they'll just abandon it. So, you know, this week I'm looking to see if they, you know, start a running game and then, you know, continue with that running game. And then maybe, you know, play off of golf off that. So that's what I think the key for the Lions is, just, you know, get that running game going, especially if they're banged up inside in the interior. So this is, get the running game. Swift and Jamal Williams, man, let's go.
Matthew, how would you say the Vikings' pass defense has looked? I know you said the running defense has been one of the worst in the NFL, but how would you say the pass defense is? You got Patrick Peterson this offseason, brought in Rashad Breeland this offseason as well. You know, how would you say the pass defense ranks? And even as far as linebackers as well, because Swift is a big, you know, guy in the game plan, getting him involved in the passing game as well.
Can I ask you first, like, what year you guys think the Lions will have a good running game again? This is maybe like 2028, 2026, maybe.
I mean, that would be sooner than what it's been right now. So. Yeah,
no, like, to answer your question, though, the Lions running game is there, but they just go away from it for whatever reason.
They abandon it. Like last week, Jamal Williams averaging, you know, almost 5 yards per carry. But then he just went away from him.
Yeah.
Even last year, like, DeAndre Swift was really good against the Vikings, but they had to run Adrian Peterson a bunch of times for reason? I have no idea.
That was idiotic. You know, that was, you know, Pencilhead. Pencilhead was doing all that, so that's a different story.
Because I was just looking back at this today, and I will answer your question, I promise, Tyler. But so Pro Football Reference only goes back to 1994, right? So I searched 94 to 98, and Barry Sanders had 12 runs of over 20 yards just against the Vikings from 94 to 98. The next most against the Vikings was 3. So like, of course, Barry Sanders had all these highlight reel plays against the Vikings. And so that's what I think of as everyone else does. But it's, I remember you guys told me last year, like, they haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since, or maybe they had one since Barry Sanders. And here you guys are again saying, like, well, maybe you can get a run game going. It's truly remarkable. Like, every team in the league has had 2 or 3 great running backs, and you just got nothing still.
Matthew, we haven't had a 100-yard rusher, but from 28, no, besides 2018 when Kerryon broke in on Sunday Night Football, the last time was 2013 on Thanksgiving with Reggie Bush.
For 100 yards.
100-yard rusher just in one game. Like, you know, that just, like, just take that in a matter. 100 yards in one game. Like, that's not that much.
No.
And it took us 5 years. Is my math right? Yeah, 5 years to get
you're talking about before 2018, right? Before
Kerryon. Yeah,
before 2018. So So before 2018, when we drafted Kerryon Johnson, we haven't had a 100-yard rusher since Reggie Bush.
And yeah. Kerryon's not on the roster anymore.
Kerryon's on the roster.
Kerryon's on an NFL practice squad right now. He just got released from the Niners practice squad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our last 100-yard rusher. I mean, not our last 100-yard rusher since, you know, had the
roster. And our last 1,000-yard rusher goes to Reggie Bush.
I mean, that's just mind-blowing. Reggie Bush, of all people, who I don't think anyone remembers actually even played for the Lions. Dalvin Cook last year had... 200 yards, by the way, against Detroit. So
we know that.
We remember
that was the straw that broke the camel back for me. That was it. That's when I wanted Pencilhead out of here. After he did that, I was like, "This is the guy. I gotta go. This is it."
I just noticed too, Malcolm. We both lost our trust in Patricia after a Vikings game, but mine was just ours.
A year before,
mine was after in 2019 when Kirk Cousins threw. I mean, they scored 42 points on us that game. Yours was, last year, before the Thanksgiving game, or two games before the Thanksgiving game, where Dalvin Cook just ran all over us.
That was just it, man. Because if you're a defensive, your background is your defensive coach, and if you are letting one guy just run up and down, you know he's running the ball. You know they're running the ball. If you can't stop it, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing here? He needed to go.
So let me just say quickly, the pass defense has, I think, started to get it together, in terms of their communication stuff. The first few weeks was a disaster, but Breshad Breeland is still problematic. And last week, Baker Mayfield easily could have thrown for 300 yards had he been even remotely accurate. So that's the answer to that.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I was going to ask you that, guys, though. Do you guys like Dan Campbell? Do you like this thing? I mean, if you were that patient with Matt Patricia, then I'm guessing that you sort of like what Campbell has brought. But I feel like it's sort of here in Minnesota, the governor was Jesse Ventura once. And it's like Jesse Ventura.
That.
Yeah, it was wild. But having Jesse Ventura as your head coach. But I like it from a team that sort of needs it. Like if you have a really miserable head coach who doesn't have enthusiasm, energy, and is pushing people, and you're not a great football team, it's just a big pot of misery. So I think he's the right guy for this. But I want to know what you guys think.
I'll say this: if Dan Campbell was here and he had the same staff as Pencilhead did, this would probably be bad. I wasn't thrilled with Matt Patricia's staff. I mean, he was just hiring guys to just be there. Paul Pasqualoni, come on. That guy's not a defensive coach.
Hey.
Like, we all knew this. He was just hiring people, but he was like, all right, I'm going to hire you as a defensive. You're going to be our defensive coordinator, but you're running my scheme. You're going to run the plays that I want to run. So you're just there. Just make sure everybody do what I want them to do. That's what Matt Patricia was doing. But this staff is amazing. I love Dan Campbell's staff more than I can say I love Dan Campbell. But Dan Campbell's doing a great job, but his staff here, with Anthony Lynn, AG. These guys are just I love these guys. I love our staff. So I think it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some knocks on Dan Campbell in these first four games, especially I would say the last two. Last game was just very frustrating with some late game decision making that I just did not agree with. I would say in the Baltimore game as well, some late game decisions I just did not agree with. But overall, I think I'm with Malcolm. I've really liked what the staff has done as far as a player developmental standpoint so far, because we knew coming into the year that this roster just wasn't going to win many games because it's not a great, talented roster. But as far as, you know, getting the best out of some of these guys, I think they've done that so far, and I think they will do that more as the season goes on. So, you know, I'm not going to say I'm fully bought in right now, but, you know, I'm just optimistic. I'm curious to watch and to see how this, you know, this train takes us with Dan Campbell and his staff. But so far, I think it's been solid. I'm not going to say great, but it hasn't been bad. It's been very solid so far.
Yeah, I like what he's done. I like how he's aggressive. That previous coach was just super conservative. He's aggressive, and he tells things like this to the media. A lot of, like, coaches hide stuff. We're not going to talk about it. He just straight up tells it. He doesn't care about no competitive advantage or whatever you want to call it. He just tells things to the media. He's honest with his players. And if a player doesn't play, even if he's a veteran, he'll release them. So that sends a message to the locker room as well. Like Jamie Collins got released. I like how they're sending a message to the locker room. And I love the culture they're building here as well. The players are having fun. They're losing right now, but I feel like in a couple of years, once they get their guys in, they'll start winning. I really like what he's built here so far.
Okay, so here's a question for you that I think is one that we would not have asked in previous years. But would you rather be the Lions or the Vikings right now? Because I mean, my answer would be the Lions. I think that you're in a position to do the thing that works in all sports. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes you draft the wrong guy and he's a bust. And you guys and Joey Harrington wouldn't know anything about that, but sometimes that happens. But
I know all about Joey.
But at least you're in a position to have the golden ticket of drafting a quarterback high and then being able to spend boatloads of money, and you have a left tackle who is going to be able to protect him that you drafted high. I mean, that all those things seem like the foundation of, and it seems like a smart general manager, the foundation to build over a couple of years to be the Buffalo Bills or to be the Cleveland Browns, these teams that were laughing stocks. I grew up in Buffalo and I worked in Buffalo to start my career. Laughing stock the entire time I was there. Now they're a premier team in the league. I mean, the same thing for Cleveland. My gosh, I mean, 20 years of just being a joke. And then the light comes on. They get Baker Mayfield on the cheap contract. They get a smart coach and you're off and going. And with the Vikings, it just feels like being stuck in the same place that the Vikings have always been stuck in. And when I was looking at those Barry Sanders stats, you know what I noticed was the Vikings were always 9-7, 10-6, 8-8, even from the 90s. It's like, it's always been who they are. And I feel like Vikings fans would love to switch places and just be like, yeah, actually we're bad. It's cool though, but we're bad. Instead of saying, no, we're the best 1-3 team in the league. Like, wow, good for you.
No, Matthew, I'm right on cue with you. And that was my biggest knock with Lions fans, because they loved the mediocrity. They were so settled, and they loved, like, going, just having a chance in December. Like, okay, we're not good enough for these teams. Like, once we get in the playoffs, we're going to get clocked. We played Seattle in 2016. We were not good enough. Like, that's why I was so sick of the Jim Caldwell era, because that's exactly what Minnesota is right now. So if you're asking me, would I take the Lions or the Vikings situation now? Absolutely the Lions. They gutted it out from the bottom, and they're trying to establish something big, like you were saying, Buffalo, Cleveland. I think even Miami, I know they're not very good right now, but I think they're doing it kind of right now, establishing a nice team right now. But they're gutting it out from the bottom and, you know, starting from scratch. I like to use it as a cookie reference. They're throwing out the burnt cookies, and we're starting a new batch. We're starting a new recipe. That's what Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are doing right now. They're throwing away Patricia and Bob Quinn's cookies, and we're starting a new recipe. I mean, that recipe is it's disgusting. It's out of style. It's time for a new one. A new chocolate chip recipe coming in. So I'm right on, you know, Q. I'm ready for just to gut it out, start from scratch, and, you know, and try to build that dynasty. And like you mentioned, they are setting a nice foundation already. And I think the way they approached their first draft was very important. They got a foundation of an offensive lineman, two defensive linemen. You win in the trenches. It's a cliche, but you win in the trenches. And that's what the Lions are establishing right now. So Absolutely, I would take the Lions right now. Then just being that middle where you just don't know where you are. You're not good enough for Super Bowl, but you're not bad enough to be a top 10 pick. So absolutely the Lions for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you have a team that's rebuilding, and you know you have all these draft picks, and there's a chance that, you know, the future is bright. But the Viking just seems to be like stuck. So it's like you just don't know what you're gonna get from them. So I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm down to start over. I mean, exactly what we're doing right now.
Now I do think games are more entertaining for Vikings fans every Sunday than Lions games this year.
Right.
That's not a question. So if you're looking for just an entertainment standpoint, you would take the Vikings. But if you're looking to build some longevity, stability down the line, absolutely the Lions, in my opinion.
Right. But I mean, good for you. You have entertainment value and you go 9-7 or 9-8 or whatever.
It's like, they're fine with that. They're completely fine with that.
Well, and I understand that because there's been so many seasons that are less than that for the Lions that you feel like you have to get good before you can get great. But with the Vikings just sitting around it good for such a long time, and it's not just now. I mean, it's the entire franchise's identity is being just sort of like on the doorstep, but not good enough. Just like the Lions' identity is being all the way at the bottom. But you know, at least in this case, now you have a chance to draft the next quarterback, and even you can sit the next quarterback for a year because you're still not going to be there at that point. Right. And that's why I was going to say too. And now you guys might disagree with me, not because I have not watched a ton of Jared Goff this year, but I feel like he's doing you a favor by showing that he's not all that good. But I mean, that's a good thing, because if he shows a little too much, then front office people can outsmart themselves and be like, well, maybe he is good enough, but he's not. And so he's sort of showing you like, no, he's just a guy. He's just a guy you have to make sure you're not a laughingstock, to make sure that you can evaluate receivers and linemen and everything else. He's a pro quarterback, but no one can be sitting there going like, Spencer, who, I don't need him, right? Like, that's at least my perception of it.
Yeah, Jared Goff, me and Tyler, like when we first traded for him, like even before we saw him play a snap, like, this guy's going to be our bridge quarterback. We'll probably draft a QB year one or maybe even year two because of quarterback's class this year. To me, it's not that strong so far. I haven't really seen anyone that stands out. Like every year there's a guy. So, but like you said, I think he's just the bridge, and in a few years, hopefully they'll draft a guy, because they also have picks the following year as well. They have two picks this year and two picks the next year.
Four first round picks in the next 2 years, which is absolutely big when you're doing a rebuild.
Right.
Go ahead. No,
I mean, yeah, Jared Goff is Jared Goff. I've said it. Like, this year has done nothing for me to change my perception on it. Like, some people are like, you know, he's just not it. They're unsatisfied. I'm like, what did you guys expect? Like, I didn't have these high expectations for Jared Goff. So, you know, what he's doing right now is not, you know, exceeding, but I don't think he's under, you know, he's just doing what I expected, basically, which is, you know, like you mentioned, he's going to be an NFL quarterback. You know, he's going to keep you in a ball game for the most part. He's not going to make you a complete laughing stock. He's going to be an average quarterback, and that's what Jared Goff's career has been. And it's going to, you know, I think going to be for the rest of his career, just a nice bridge quarterback, prepare for whoever's the next quarterback there. And that's fine. Some guys make a nice career out of it. You know, a guy like that very well, Teddy Bridgewater, he makes a very nice career out of that. I think Jared Goff could be that. And I think that's completely fine.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's another one where you bring in Fitzpatrick to make sure you're a professional football team, because all of us on Madden, we would just put the punter in and sim the season and just like, make sure we go 0-17 and then draft number one overall. Right.
I've never did that before. I never did that before.
You
never
tried that?
It's a tremendous strategy. You put the punter in a quarterback, sim the season, you go 0-17, draft number one.
You can't
exactly do that. Yeah. So I guess I wanted to ask you guys, and I'm sorry, Tyler, I've sort of taken the questions, but I'm fascinated.
Right, good.
I'm fascinated with the Lions a little bit, to be honest with you, because this is the position the Vikings are never in. Never. I mean, they had 1-3-13 season, and they won a game in Washington on, I believe, Christmas Eve to miss the suck for luck. So they don't have Andrew Luck because they won one stupid game. So make sure that your team does not do that. But
we missed on the Race for Chase sweepstakes by tying with the Cardinals, I guess. I mean, that was hindsight, though. So, you know. But yes.
That's how it goes. Yeah, that's how it goes. But I mean, Andrew Luck, think of what this franchise would have been with Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
Right?
So
I guess I wonder what you guys are looking for the rest of the season, because from a Vikings perspective, What I'm looking for is, well, do they lose to the Lions and then everybody's fired? But if they don't, which I don't suspect they will, then it's, well, can you really be a real contender? Can you beat good teams? Can you win your national TV games? Can you, even if you're only like a six seed, can you be stronger than a six seed because you figured it out and proved everybody wrong after your slow start? Like, that's what I'm looking for now. If people want to keep their job, if they want to keep with Kirk Cousins, all those things. I wonder what you guys are looking for.
We're just looking for players to develop. We don't really care about wins and losses that much. We want to see, like, the younger guys, like, right now, they're still developing. We want to see them in week 7, week 8, week 9, taking that next step in their development. That's honestly what we're looking for. Obviously, we want competitive football, but we just want to see player development. That's what this year is about for us.
And it's been tragic, too, because a lot of those, you know, future building blocks that we kind of have in our mind right now, which is very, like, you know, premature, but like when you look at the big picture and saying, hey, this could be a guy for our long-term plan. Unfortunately, they have also, not all of them, a lot of them have suffered big injuries. Jeff Okuda, out week one, done. Like, that just, it's a wash. We don't even get to watch him anymore for the rest of the year, and that stunts a big development. Romeo Okwara, same thing. Like, he was supposed to be one of our building blocks. We gave him a contract this offseason. He's out. Frank Ragnow, he's now on IR. He was supposed to be one of our building blocks. Taylor Decker as well. He's on IR. Like, a lot of these guys that we had envisioned.
Melifanu as well.
Yeah, Fatu Melifanu. Like, a lot of these guys that we had in, like, envisioned to be building blocks for the future, we are losing a lot of them to injuries right now, which is obviously, it's the NFL. You're going to sustain injuries throughout a 17-game season. Right. Like, that's expected. But that's been, you know, the most frustrating thing I would say so far, more than the win-loss record right now. It's that we're losing on a lot of guys that we could be developing throughout the year and looking at potential building blocks for the, you know, for this long-term plan. So that's what I would say is most frustrating. But like Pierre's saying, you know, just the guys that we have up, you know, who the guys are going to be playing, could they take that next step? Are they going to take advantage of the role that they're in right now? There's a lot of guys fighting for roster spots. There's a lot of guys, you know, fighting to be those building blocks for the long term. So that's what I want to see throughout the season. There's multiple guys on this team that you're keeping an eye out for, and, you know, you just hope they improve week in and week out.
Yeah. So to your question, I don't think they're really looking, like, as far as like trying to lose every game to try to get that draft pick, that top draft pick. This team is they're gonna be competitive. I can see them, you know, playing, you know, trying to win every game. They're not going to. You know, we'll be lucky if we could squeeze out one or two, maybe three games this year with this roster. So they're going to be competitive. But as far as them, if you're thinking like, all right, are we going to try to lose these games to try to gain draft capital to try to get the number one overall pick? This team is not going to do that.
Sure. Who's your backup quarterback, by the way? Is there a guy you could put in?
David Blau.
Blau. Okay. You get to week 14, 15. Jared Goff's got a finger injury. He can't play. David Blau, you're in. Yeah. Right? I mean, you've got
Tim Boyle as well. You know about Tim Boyle.
I suppose I know about Tim Boyle. I've never actually seen Tim Boyle play. I have, unfortunately. The David Blau game against the Vikings is the one game, because I you know, truly love my job. It's the one game where I thought about not going to the stadium. I just thought about being like, no, I can't do it. I can't spend, it's a long day covering an NFL game. I cannot spend this whole day on something that David Blau is doing.
Right. I mean, he made his debut on Thanksgiving, man. That was something as well. On national TV, it was his debut was on Thanksgiving. So
it was an 80-yard bomb to Kenny Galladay.
I don't even fault you for that. I mean, it's David Blau.
Is David Blau. I wanted to ask you guys a question that I just, you know, when Malcolm reached out, asked if I want to do this, I thought I'd love to talk about the funniest stuff that's ever happened to the Lions, because with the Vikings, for a team that's competitive, though, funny stuff happens all the time. Like, I'll give you guys an example. My first year covering the team, week 17, the Chicago Bears run a goofy play where they threw a touchdown to Matt Barkley. And it was in a meaningless game. The Vikings were out of the playoffs. And we all sort of laughed at it. Like, why do they even do that? Throw a touchdown to Matt Barkley. Who cares? The Philadelphia Eagles copied that play in the Super Bowl. And that was the pass that they threw to Nick Foles, whatever the nickname for it.
The Philly Special.
The Philly Special. So, like, things like that are ironic and ridiculous happen to the Vikings all the time. That's one of my favorites, is that the Matt Barkley play is the Philly Special. And in that same game, a person hung from the roof with a giant banner, the only banner the Vikings have ever hung, to protest a pipeline that was happening. So a gigantic, there's a person in a Favre jersey dangling from a rope and hanging this gigantic banner up there. And they didn't show it on TV because I guess, you know, they have rules, whatever, that you're not supposed right. to. But it is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. This person protesting and hanging from the roof. So stuff like that. Like, what is the Detroit version of that? Is it just everything?
Ooh. Okay, hold up. I got one. This is not even during a game. This was us at leaving Ford Field. All three of us leaving Ford Field.
Whoa, I remember this.
Unbelievable story. So we're just walking, and I guess we passed the players/coaches parking lot. Had no idea. And I saw my favorite coach of all time, Paul Pasqualoni. we just saw him. He rolls out his windows in a beat up. What car was he driving? I don't even remember what he was
that
driving.
Was like a beat up Suburban. Right?
It was had to be like a 91. I don't know.
It's the most Paul Pasqualoni thing ever. It just screamed Paul Pasqualoni when I saw that. I'm like, oh my god, that's fucking Paul Pasqualoni. So unbelievable story, and you know he was my favorite coach.
Why? And
he still is my favorite coach. He's just
because he did nothing.
Yeah, Patricia just put the blame on him. He was the most innocent scapegoat of all time ever. So. My favorite coach of all time. I love Paul. Stop and getting to see him in person in a beat up Suburban. Unbelievable story. One of my favorite moments of all time. I'm gonna tell my grandkids.
The fact that your story is about Paul Pasqualoni makes that funny enough. Just like
yes,
like who would even know that Paul Pasqualoni was in the NFL still recently?
Yeah, no. I mean, this was only in 2019. I mean, so it wasn't that long ago. What else is a crazy story that I got, like, of the Lions?
Probably the craziest story I've witnessed.
I mean, like, there's obviously, like, a bunch of, like, just stupid moments in games that we see all the time. Like, Dan Orlowski stepping outside the end zone versus
Minnesota. Oh, yes! Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah, like, we have a bunch of stupid moments like that, obviously.
That's what I mean. Tell me more of them.
I mean, like PJ Walker dicing us up to get Matt Patricia to lose his job last year. What else is there? I mean, the list goes on. There's so many games like that where we are now known as rookie quarterbacks always beating us. Justin Fields just added to that collection last week.
Oh yeah, we made Mitch Trubisky look like an MVP. Mitch Trubisky, we kept
Mitch Trubisky in the NFL like as a starting quarterback much longer than it had to be. We've kept Matt Nagy in office way longer than it had to be.
Yeah,
I think like one of the ones that got me like really upset like the most is when Chase Daniel cooked us.
Chase Daniel beat us. Yes.
When we got cooked by Chase Daniel, like this dude, like he hasn't. I think this was like his first his first start.
No. It was his fifth career start, but he only had fifth one career start. He only had one career win prior to that.
But they had mostly been like in week 17s where it didn't matter, right? It was like his first game that mattered.
Yes. Yeah, this is like his first game that mattered. And
Thanksgiving.
I was so mad.
No, and he's the biggest scammer in the NFL, Chase Daniel. And he beat us. And then he joined us after.
Here's one for you. The fact that Kirk Cousins is 6-0 with I think 130 quarterback rating against the Lions as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the fact that Cousins is the most sort of up and down type of quarterback, and there have been no down days against the Detroit Lions. You know, he's 20-24-1 against everyone else and 6-0 against the Lions. So he's above 500 overall. It's my favorite stat.
Matthew, what's your thoughts on Kirk Cousins here? I think just from a far perspective, I haven't watched every game, but like just having Red Zone on and the Vikings are there, I watched like a little bit when they played Seattle. You know, what's your perception on Kirk Cousins? It seems like he's been better this year. You know, I would say it's probably been his best years of Viking as far as this early in the season.
So maybe add like 5% to Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I mean, like think about what they both need to succeed. So when Jared Goff was having good years and leading number one offenses, they had a great offensive line. They had at least two wide receivers, probably three at his best. Brandon Cooks, Sammy Watkins was there, Cooper Kupp. So they had really good receivers. And they had a great running game with Todd Gurley. five-something yards a carry, right? And the most innovative offense in the NFL at the time. I think a lot of offenses have caught up to the Rams now, but still, they're leading the innovation. When you look at Cousins, what he's had through his career, in Washington, he had Sean McVay as his offensive coordinator. He had DeSean Jackson. He had Pierre Garçon, two great tight ends, great offensive line. Here, it hasn't been the great offensive line, but it's Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Delvin Cook, Irv Smith last year. Kyle Rudolph is a Pro Bowler, a very solid player. And, you know, Diggs before that. And Diggs is shown to be a top three receiver in the NFL. And what you get is still the sort of up and down type of play. You get when everything is perfect and you're playing the Lions, he absolutely demolishes them. But when you're playing the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs and they have a tough defensive line, there's really no answer that he has. And I guess I think there are like a half dozen quarterbacks who are very good in the NFL, but they have no answers. So like Jimmy Garoppolo's this way, and Goff is this way, and Baker Mayfield is this way, where if you lay it out for him and you give them open receivers, man, they'll light you up all day long. If anything goes wrong, they're probably going to lose. That's not the case with Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or, you know what I mean? Even Matt Stafford, who I have sort of waffled on whether, you know, like he's overrated or underrated is a funny thing. If you threw it out there on Twitter, like, is Stafford overrated or underrated? It would be a fight for the rest of eternity. But 100%. But that is a good point, though, because Matt Stafford has like a trump card. Like if things aren't going well and you're pressuring him and you're getting after him and you're hitting him, he's got this just ridiculous arm and he can make a throw that nobody else can make. Right. And Cousins can't do that. He doesn't have great arm strength. He doesn't have any mobility or athleticism. And so if it's not all laid out on a platter, and that's why, and how many games per year are laid out on a platter? I don't know, 8 to 10. How many games does he always win? I don't know, 8 to 10, right? So that's the way I look at it is that's a fine quarterback if you're paying him on a rookie contract. If he's the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL by his cap hit, which he is, you're probably not going to be able to build a strong enough roster, which they haven't.
Fair enough. Right. Okay, let's go into more of this game now. So you look at this Lions defense, depleted secondary now, missing your best pass rusher in Romeo Okwara. You mentioned it. Kirk Cousins is 6-0 versus the Lions in a Minnesota Vikings uniform. What do you expect this Sunday with Kirk Cousins versus Lions defense?
375 yards and 4 touchdowns. honestly, guys, when you don't pressure Kirk Cousins, he's going to light you up. This has always been the case, and I just have a very tough time seeing them pressuring Kirk Cousins. You know, I think that maybe they could throw some different looks in there, unlike Matt Patricia, who played the same defense in every single game. That and cover one is the worst thing you could do against Kirk Cousins, because that means Thielen or Jefferson is man to man and they're going to win that. But I just think the talent isn't there. Like, who's covering Justin Jefferson? This could be a game where Jefferson gets 230 yards receiving or something. That's kind of the way that I look at it, that if it's going to be a game, it has to be because Cousins gets a couple of interceptions, he gets a tip ball or something like that that gets picked. It's going to have to be things really break right for the Lions, for the Vikings not to put up like 35 points.
Okay, Matthew, Peter, and Malcolm, I want to play a game with you guys. So with our new sponsor, Underdog, they dropped out the new pick'ems, the yardage, the whole thing. So I'm gonna give you guys a player and a number. You tell me over or under, okay? Let's start off with Jared Goff. 262.5 passing yards, over or under. Matthew?
I'll go over because I think they'll be playing from behind the whole game.
Okay, Peter?
Under.
Under, okay. Malcolm?
I agree with Matthew here. I say over because I do see them playing from behind.
Okay, let's go on to DeAndre Swift. 84.5 rushing / receiving yards. So add them together. 84.5. Matthew, over or under?
I'm going to go over. The Vikings have really not stopped running backs this year.
Okay, Pierre?
Over.
Okay, Malcolm?
From what I saw last week, I'm going to say under. Until I see that they're able to go back and use them the way that they used them against Baltimore, I'm going to say under.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a big question one because we don't even know if he's going to be playing this game. But there, TJ Hockenson, if you guys want to take advantage right now, TJ Hockenson's on this list right now. So 54.5 receiving yards, over under. Matthew.
Well, if he doesn't play, then I'll go under.
Zero, yeah.
If he does play, I will still, well, And the Vikings have some dinged up linebackers, so I think that there is advantage to be taken, and there's just not a lot of receiving talent in Detroit. So I guess I would go over if he plays.
Okay. Pierre?
Yeah, if he's active, over.
Malcolm?
I'll go over. There, I know the Vikings are kind of banged up in the linebacking.
All right, guys. The crew is saying bet the over here, so go over here. All right. Let's go into the Vikings. We got three Vikings running right now. Three more than one. All right, Kirk Cousins, 263 passing yards, over under. I mean,
oh my God,
Matt is very enthusiastic of going over here.
You'd have to be out of your skull not to go over with this one. I mean, just Google his numbers against the Lions. If he doesn't go over 262, Mike Zimmer is fired. Rick Spielman, everyone is fired. If he the only way he doesn't is if they're up so much so fast that they just run the rest of the game, which is possible. But this is a stat padding game. This is how when people are like, oh, Cousins had the fifth best quarterback rating in the league. You're like, yeah, because he threw for 500 against the Lions. Like, that's.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, there you guys go. You guys are gonna have to get in the over on this one. So maybe I might jump in on this my own. Am I? You'll go over right here. All right, Pierre. What do you got here? Over.
I'm going over, man. You got a depleted Lions secondary, bad safeties, no pass rushers, like no Aquara, maybe no Flowers. I gotta go the over.
Other than that, though, defense is fine.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. No. Yeah.
That's one of my picks. I put over. I put over. Yeah, I already know our situation.
You put the over on the pickums. All right, Justin Jefferson, 78.5 receiving yards, over under.
I mean, I'll go over again. Who's covering him?
That's good.
Tyler's covering him.
About the same correlation. All right, Peter, what do you got here?
No, I think I'll get like 120 plus. I'm going over.
Okay, Malcolm. Over.
Another one of my picks, over.
Okay, and last one, Adam Thielen, 5.5 receptions this game. Matthew?
Yeah, I'll go over on that one, too. I mean, everything passing, I think, is going to be over, especially after what happened last week. I think they're going to want to come out and just throw it all over the place and just put this away quickly and not have it be dicey like it has been for most of their games.
Okay, Pierre?
You said 5.5?
5.5, that's a lot.
Matt, so I don't really watch the Vikings. Does Thielen get targeted a lot?
Not as much as he used to, like in 2018 when they threw to him all the time, but... And last week they kind of shut him down, so I think that he'll be really looking for the football this week.
All right, let's go with the over then.
Okay, Malcolm?
I'm telling everybody my picks. Yeah, I picked the over on this one.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to take advantage, we have a promo code right now. If you guys want to use code PRIDEPOD, $10 off if you're first time signing up with Underdog Fantasy. So there you guys go. You guys got our picks. Let's talk about predictions now. So the line right now on Barstool, I last looked at, let me just make sure. I want to get an updated line, and I want to get Matthew's predictions, and we're going to get a bold prediction. So while I'm waiting to get this line, Matthew, what's your bold prediction in this game?
I guess if I had to make a bold prediction, it would be that at some point, like in the third quarter, say, Vikings fans are nervous. Like, I mean, I think that ultimately the final score will not be super close, but that there's a pluckiness to the Detroit Lions and there's a nervousness to the Minnesota Vikings where it could be like 10-0 Lions and everyone's going, oh my God. And then it works out the way that you expect it to. But that would be bold. The bold prediction would be at some point the Vikings are real nervous.
Okay. And the spread right now, I just looked at it, is at 9 points, which has increased. It was at 7 earlier in the week. It's at 9 now. Do you still like that spread for the Minnesota Vikings?
I do. The amount of desperation for this team, I think that they'll win by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. All right. So there you guys go. You got Matthew Collar's picks. He's taking the Minnesota Vikings if he had to bet on the spread. And you got his over-unders. He's basically going over, which we love. We love the over-dogs right here. If you're aggressive enough to go over, you know, that is fantasy football. That is sports betting. We love the over. So,
right.
All right. I think that's it. Matthew, you got any other questions for us?
I mean, I could ask you about Detroit Lions calamities all day long, but
we have another matchup this year, Matt.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We've got plenty more time, so think on those stories.
Okay. All right. I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode of the Pride Podcast and the Purple Insider Podcast with Matthew Kyler and the Pride Podcast, me, Malcolm Hart, Pierre. Hope you guys all enjoyed again. Leave a 5-star review on both of our feeds. We always love them. Matthew, I'm assuming you love them. I haven't asked you this, but I'm assuming you like 5-star reviews. Never complain about
works them. For me. Yep.
Complain about them. So leave a 5-star review on his as well. And I'm signing out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's Malcolm, and I'm out. Peace.
Football. Peace.